At first, I did not relish preaching on James 3:1 to 12. As I have often heard words coming out of my mouth and have questioned the sanity of someone who would say such things. It is so easy to read James 3:1 to 12 as all about us as individuals and our out-of-control tongues. But when we look at verse 1, not many of you should become teachers, as those who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Here we see the context for this passage and this discussion about tongues. And we see that this passage is not so much about tongues and rudders and forest fires as it is about choosing leaders, teachers, pastors, even interim pastors, who then act as tongues, as rudders, as sparks, guiding, inspiring, motivating, and leading whole congregations. As we attempt to bring together Isaiah 43, Mark 8, and James 3, and see what these passages would say to us about interim ministry and choosing leaders, let us pause for prayer. Most merciful, loving God, in every age and time and place, you have acted to bring forth leaders for your church. You have never left us on our own, at loose ends, unsure of what to do or where to go. Even so, now, O God, speak to us through these scripture passages and shed the light of your living presence on our situation. In the name of the Christ we pray. Amen. Has it ever occurred to you, as it has to me, to have certain questions and maybe even suspicions about someone who dares to speak for God? Someone who claims to have a corner on the eternal truths and who can teach us those truths. James cautions the people of his day not to be so eager to put themselves forward as teachers, pastors, and leaders in the church, saying that while such positions are elevated places of honor and privilege, they are also positions of awesome, awful responsibility. Awful in the original meaning of that term, as large, huge, great. With this caution, I hear James saying, it takes a healthy degree of audacity, of fearlessness and boldness to step out and to step up saying, yes, with God's help, I feel I have been called to be a teacher, leader, pastor. I will do my best to speak for God, to act for the invisible and sometimes elusive God, to be God's spokesman to this people. Yes, I will let God live through me, even though I am fallible, prone to failure, and full of faults. This is what Isaiah is doing in our call to worship, allowing God to speak through him. The people of Israel had been released from their captivity in Babylon. They were now free to go back to Jerusalem and to Judah. But how were they to go back? Isaiah tells them that God is challenging them to let go of the past, to forget their previous hurts and pains, the griefs and losses, the suffering and humiliation. No longer think about the things of old. Rather, he says, God is saying to them, I am doing a new thing. Don't you see it? I will create a road through the desert wilderness, rivers where there is now only dry sand. Move on. Go forward. Don't let the past you know keep you from entering the future you do not know. Because I will be with you to ease your way forward. Even with a healthy dose of audacity, this needs to be a strong part of every teacher, preacher, pastor, teacher, and yes, interim pastor's attitude and persona. Don't be a captive to the past. It is over and done with. It is what it was. We cannot live back there. Our job is to deal with the challenges of today, not the challenges of yesterday. I'm about to do a new thing. Are you looking for it? Are you open to seeing it? Sometimes we are, sometimes we are not. For this reason, I take great comfort in the opening phrase of verse 2 of chapter 3 in James. For all of us make many mistakes. I've made my share. Nancy can tell you I probably made more than my share. Is there anyone here who has never made a mistake? Now, let's be honest. Let's see hands. Anyone here who has never made a mistake? If we never make a mistake, my friends, it means we've never done anything, which is in itself, in my book, a mistake. For as leaders in the church, as teachers, pastors, interim pastors, we are called to accept the risk of making bold decisions, of going where others have not yet gone. I was encouraged early in my ministry to trust my guts, to be a risk taker, to not be afraid to try on different plans and programs. For my mentor said, even if one half of everything you do does not work and does not last, the half that does work will be worth your efforts. We all make mistakes. Look at Peter in the gospel lesson. He knows who Jesus is, or he thinks he knows who Jesus is, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Holy One of God. But when Jesus begins teaching the 12 what this means for him, suffering and dying, rejection and humiliation, Peter says, well, that doesn't fit with my image of a Messiah. Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. You're wrong. I'm right. How can you be the Messiah if the Messiah is going to be killed and done away with? This prompts Jesus to put Peter in his place, patiently explaining that the Messiah is not a conquering hero on a big white horse, but a servant on a little donkey and on a cross. We all make mistakes. There are no blueprints coming out of the church headquarters in Louisville. No one size fits all. No one sure way to be the church in every place. We are called often to fly by the seat of our pants. So it is not the end of the world to make a mistake. I hear James telling those who would be bold enough to venture forward saying, yes, I will be a leader, a teacher, a pastor, that it is better to make mistakes while doing something, making bold decisions, rather than to make the mistake of sitting on our hands, doing nothing, trying to stay in Babylon, a captive to the past. The neatest thing about looking at James 3, 1 to 12, not as an indictment of our individual tongues loose at both ends, is this. I now hear James comparing leaders, teachers, pastors, interim pastors, to the tongues that encourage and challenge, to the little rudders that guide large ships, to the tiny sparks that can turn a forest into an inferno, to the bit and bridle needed to guide a horse down a roadway. As the tongue is a small part of the huge ship and the whole human body, as rudders are a small part of a ship, as a spark is a tiny thing and a bit and bridle are small when compared to the horse, so is the leader, the teacher, the pastor, the interim pastor, only one small part of the whole congregation. Yet the teacher, leader, pastor has the position of power, the responsibility to guide, inspire, challenge, encourage a whole congregation, one person influencing many people. How does this happen? Jesus shows us in Mark 8, as he carefully explains to the 12 what it means to be a disciple, to be a follower of the Christ. He invites them and he invites us to be leaders first by being servants, to take up the cross, the burden of discipleship, to deny ourselves, putting Christ first. For no matter how important we are or think we are in the church, no matter how elevated a position we hold, it's not about us. We are not called and claimed by God and chosen and called to be a leader, a teacher, a pastor, so we can get ahead and profit from our status. What we are doing here is not about us. Some folks in one church told me about a young man, a car salesman, who moved to their town and came to their church and almost immediately joined the choir. And the people were so pleased, they were ecstatic that this young man chose their church and was going to sing in their choir. And several people in the congregation told him how pleased they were that he was there. And he told them that his presence in the church and in the choir was good for his business. What we are doing here, my friends, is not about us. It's not for our personal profit, not to boost our image, not to feed our egos. We are here echoing the hymn to hear God speaking to us so we may speak for God. We are here to lead as we are led, to teach as we have been taught, to be used until thy blessed face I see. Servants. And as God's servants in this place, we are to do it with a certain degree of integrity. James says, from one and the same mouth may come blessings and curses. This should not be. Can one spring of water produce both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine figs? I hear James calling us as leaders, teachers, pastors, interim pastors to do more than talk the talk. We are called and chosen to put legs on our faith, to be genuine, transparent, and thereby to earn the ability to lead and teach and preach. A young pastor in his first parish and I were talking about stewardship and about how he was trying to encourage his people to be more generous with their offerings. Then he confided in me that he and his wife did not give anything to their church, not to the church he was pastoring, because he said the people were not paying him enough to give anything to the church. And I thought, well, duh. Perhaps that's why they are not being generous with the church and with you, as they see that you're not being generous with them and true to your servant calling. When Nancy and I were called to my first church at age 24, the chair of the call committee, a lawyer, sat us down and talked financial turkey to us. The previous pastor had pledged every year faithfully, but never in any of those years did he give anything toward his pledge. This lawyer said, "I don't care what you kids pledge, just pay it." We did, and they did. This was a lesson in integrity?
Can we harvest figs from an apple tree or fresh water from a salty Dead Sea? Leaders, teachers, pastors, interim pastors may be placed in their position and given authority by the session, by the presbytery, to teach and to preach. But we, as a small part of the whole, only lead and teach and preach, influencing the many as we earn the power, as we earn the ability to do so, as we earn the right by being servants of the whole, by being transparent about our faith, by putting legs on our faith, and by walking the talk. Back in the Jurassic Park age, one of the ordination services for elders in the church included a charge to the congregation, encouraging the people to be faithful to these new elders, supportive and cooperative. And the charge concluded with this challenging phrase, that the people should follow these new elders so far as you see them following Christ. We have been placed in this place and put here in this time to declare God's good message. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not see it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The way ahead for us may be uncertain. There may be lots of ambiguity, more moving parts than settled. We may feel discomfort and uneasy as there are more balls in the air than in the hand. Everything may not be nailed down the way we like it to be. But I love the promise God makes through Isaiah to Israel. As Israel is coming out of Babylon in captivity, trying to shed the past and go into the uncertain future, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Amen.